Blog Talk Radio.
I will go to the consequence of love, whatever come what may, you see. The game for me is you. I will fight for the right to be your love, no matter what they say, you see. The game for me is you. I begin to hate time and distance, 'cause it makes me weak. It's all I seem to do. I will go to the consequence of love, whatever come what may, you see. The gain for me is you. And I will fight for the right to be your love, no matter what they say, you see. The gain for me is you. Begin to hate time and distance, 'cause it makes me wait, and it's all I seem to do. I'll anticipate with all my patience, 'cause it makes me wait, coming home. To the consequence of love, whatever come what may, you see. The gain for me is you. I will fight for the right to be your love, no matter what they say, you see. The gain for me is you. The gain for me is you. The game for me is you. The game for me is love.
Praise y'all. Beautiful sight. There are consequences in life for every day, even for love. So it seems, considering our historical study and our nation and the creator of all nations, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Tonight, we'll bring the first book of Zechariah. And Zechariah was around about the time of Malachi, Haggai, and Ezra. And some of these prophecies were meant for our ancients, although some of these prophecies cross over to us too. They were designed to encourage the people of Yah after the Babylonian captivity and under King Darius, help them get their priorities together and what was important in their lives. Because it seemed that they didn't have their priorities together and they didn't know what was important. They were negligent in their codification processes with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Because of the consequences of love, as far as Yah is concerned, he made sure these prophets were on hand in order to relay the message to us, our ancients, and then us too. See, sometimes people think history is just a dead thing. It's just history at that given moment. But history is not dead. History is ongoing. It's a living thing. And if you understand that and you're not bogged down in just the big picture and you won't see the details. You can't get bogged down in the big picture. You have to see the details. And you see history is ongoing as far as we're concerned. Something happened and it continues to reflect on what is happening as far as history is concerned. And some people think history is just a cutoff point, a beginning, a cutoff point. History doesn't work like that. There's not a beginning. Yes, there's a beginning, but there is no cutoff point. There is a continuation of an ongoing history as far as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov is concerned, as far as our relationship with him is concerned. And the Most High makes it his business to ensure we have the plan, the codification, the processes. For the ancients were concerned, and far as we are concerned. And the name Zechariah means Yah remembers. You see what I'm saying? Yah remembers means it's an ongoing process. It began, but there's a continuation of that history. So let's delve into it, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Let's delve into our relationship with him, or rather how it all be, and the consequences of his love for us. It's true. My name is Yamsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. And you know, you heard me make reference to the wheat. Well, one of our lead students won't be with us tonight. She has to put in some work for the elderly, although she's elderly herself. She's putting in her work at a care center for elderly. She's showing her love, the consequences of her love for the Most High. It's reflective of ongoing history. But we do have Cartrell from New York City. And what do I know about Cartrell? All I need to know, which is he's not looking for special accolades. He's not searching for a special title. He's shamefaced before the Most High. He's humble before the Most High. He know he don't have all the sense in the world. And he loves the Most High with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And his brothers and sisters, as it said, that's the consequences of love for the Elohim. It's a consequence of love for his people. See? That's all I need to know. If it's good enough for the Most High, it's certainly good enough for me. It should be good enough for you. So let me bring him on. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael. Bless you all, my soul. And all that's within me, bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Yisrael, God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Brother Yamsuf, shalom, Rehava, peace and love. May the Most High bless you. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, brother. I appreciate it. May it bless you also. I'm doing well. It's good to hear your voice.
Praise. Good to hear your voice, man. Too bad the sisters ain't here tonight, because it's tonight that we give praise and honor to the Most High. And you said it. Yah's love. It's what counts. Mm-hmm. That song you played. I hope Gregory Porter ain't looking for no woman's love.
Yeah.
Because Yah's love is everlasting.
Right. Everlasting.
And that's the love we should be looking for. Yah's everlasting love. Because all the other love you're looking for, he'll provide that for you. But you got to start with him first.
Exactly. Get your fundamentals right, your priorities. As we said in the beginning of the study, you have to get your priorities right.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing that, yeah, he loves his creation, but do we love him back? And unfortunately, we tend not to love Yah back. And there's a blessing in loving Yah back. So we need to learn how to do that.
Exactly. And some of us ought to spend our time, instead of teaching us to love this, that, and other, we should ask the Most High to teach us to love him and appreciate him. Yah needs love, too. Glad you got your
head. You're talking about history, right? Whose story are we talking about? When we say history, we're talking about the Most High story. Because he's the one that's allowing creation to unveil right before our eyes. So when you say history, we ain't talking about no man, no nation. It's the story of creation. Yah's story. You say history, we part of Yah's story.
It's ongoing, God. It's a living. A living history.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Well, Gautrell, you and I, we've been there before. We know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put in the work for the LM. First chapter of Zechariah. And his name, as I mentioned before, means Yah remembers. Don't forget it. He remembers every day.
He's never forgotten. It's us who have forgotten. We forgot. We don't know who our creator is.
That's the problem, Gautrell. That's the problem. And may the Most High direct in order ourselves and let his foot step be our pathways. Give us wisdom and understanding, love and compassion and humility. In the 8th month of the 2nd year of King Darius, the word of the Elohim came to Zechariah, son of Baracha, son of Iddo, a prominent Levite, the prophet, saying, the Elohim has been angry with your father, our ancient. That's why we got to pray for them. Therefore, said to them, thus said Yah of hosts. Come on, man. How simple can this be? Return to me. Direct your attention to me, Yah says. Not everything else. Don't get your priorities right. This is what he's basically saying. Look to me. Thus said, says Yah of hosts. And if you do so, I will return to you. It takes an action to create an action. And if you simply just not focusing your priorities on the Most High, the Most High is not going to focus his priorities on you. And that's in everyday life, in any relationship, whether it's a job, your wife, your husband, your children, your family. I mean, within reason, if they're turning back to you, you got to turn to them. And certainly, as far as the creator, go ahead, Gautrell.
You talked about that loving kindness and tender mercy that lasts forever, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly. We're the ones that broke the covenant. We're the ones that went out there and served gods made of wood and stone. And the fact that Yah has given us the opportunity to come back shows how much he loves us. It's Yah's loving kindness and tender mercy that lasts forever is the reason he's given us this opportunity to do what? Like he gave our ancient fathers, he said, return to me and I'll return to you. In spite of what you've done, if you return to me, I'm going to be here for you. So the message for them, the antidote for them, is the same antidote that Yah's presented before us today. We have to return to Yah because he's telling us to do the same thing.
Exactly. And there's a furtherance of that concept. Not simply just turning and focus your attention to the Most High. You have to put in work. He says, and here's one of the words, let's say Yah of hosts. Now, one thing he says after that, in verse 4, he says, do not be like your fathers, to whom the former fathers preached. Don't do like them, saying, thus said the Yah of hosts. He said, don't be just like them, just turning, and they'll say, y'all just turn it and look at him. But he said, Father, turn now from your evil ways. And you got to take some initiative also. Once you turn to y'all, you got to take initiative. Other actions. Turn from your evil ways, your doings, and your evil deeds.
But so, how many prophets did he send to them?
Many prophets. Many prophets.
You got Zephaniah, Haggai, Amos, Isaiah, Jeremiah. How many prophets do you need, Israel, for you to hear the word of Most High? Oh, yeah.
Stiff-necked and stuff. That's the problem.
For Yah's mercy and his loving kindness that he would send all those prophets to try to get the message across.
Pride, brother. Pride comes before a fall, doesn't it?
It don't matter who the messenger is, right? Oh, we don't like Zephaniah. We don't like Zechariah. We don't like Isaiah. We don't like Hosea. We don't like Joel. No, I'm going to keep sending them to you, and they're going to be saying what? They're going to be saying the same thing. All these men I'm sending you, they saying the same thing.
But they seem to like none of them, do they, Katria?
Oh, no. They're like not me or one of them.
That's just an excuse when you want to do what you want to do. That's all that is. They did not hear nor heed me, said God. Not these men I sent, but the message I sent to them. They did not hear, they won't hear nor heed me. I mean, no matter what, which one of these prophets I sent says, your fathers, and he questioned it. Where are they? Said, the very one didn't heed. And the prophets, do they live forever? So I got to keep sending them to you. Yet surely my word and my statutes, what I command, which I commanded my servants and the prophets, they are my words. Did they not overtake your fathers to get them to humble themselves?
What's the words of the prophets supposed to do? What are the words of the prophets supposed to do, Yansu?
The words of the prophets.
They're supposed to overtake us.
Exactly.
Overtake us. Which means you ain't leaning on your own understanding. When Yah speaks, it's like E.F. Hutton. Anything shut down, this is what we got to do.
We see the same way today, country. The word of Yah didn't overtake our people, command our people still yet. The men, the women, the children, it doesn't, because they want to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. They want to.
And what's going to be the result of that, Yamsun? What's going to be the result of that?
Take a gander at the world around in your mind's eye as we're speaking. That's the outcome of it. Chaos, confusion, violence, murder, mayhem, a lack of sense of direction and our purpose. Just pride for people doing what they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it. Chaos.
It's so bad, Yamsu. Mm-hmm. Common sense is uncommon.
Yeah. That's the problem.
Uncommon. Common sense. We ain't got it. We ain't got common sense.
We are monstrosity. And we can't even see it. We lie to ourselves and each other. If only I was running things. If only everybody listened to me. Man, we had monstrosity. True that, Katria. Thank you, brother, for that clarification. No, the word of Yah hadn't overtaken our people still yet. Did they not overtake your fathers? No. So they returned and said, just as Yah's hope determined to do to us, according to our ways and according to our deeds, so he is dealt with you. So they were determined to do what they wanted to do, how they wanted to do, and when they wanted to do.
And when Yah put that whoop ass on them, then they realized, no, it's too late now.
Too late.
It's too late. Now you recalling what the prophets told you was going to happen to you if you didn't follow what Yah said. Well, now you're confessing, now you're repenting. It's kind of late for that.
That's after the fact. We had ample opportunity. We still do as I speak, Archer, and you speak, for to allow them to let Yah's word overtake them, subdue them, humble them, and follow them, and get rid of their evil actions and deeds. Has that happened? No, my brother, it hadn't. And he says, the vision of the horses on the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Shabbat, in the second year of King Darius. The word of Yah came to Zechariah, the son of Barat, the son of Idu, the prophet. And this is that prophecy. I saw by night, behold, a man riding on a red horse. It stood among the myrtle trees in the hollow. Behind him were horses, red, sorrel, and white. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? So the angel who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. The man stood among the myrtle trees, answered and said, these are the ones whom Yah has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. So they answered the angel of Yah who stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth. And behold, all the earth is resting quietly. They're representatives of the Most High, angels. And they have to go through the earth and make sure everything is easy breezy. And obviously, they have informed the angel present there, everything rests in peace for now.
According to their own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
But in the meantime, in between time, Israel is scattered. Israel's in captivity. So the world is really not at peace. And the four horses that we're reading about right now.
Right.
This is where Revelation gets their four horsemen from.
Yeah, they stole that.
Yeah, right here. Because they are these horsemen, these angels, who go to and fro on the earth, reporting daily what's going on earth to Yah. Like we read in the book of Job. Even Satan himself has to report to Yah as to what he's doing and what his whereabouts are.
But if they studied correctly, Katria, and they shot right down, we're not going to skip over. If they went down to the vision of the horn, they would know what those horn mean. That's four kingdoms. And we read about those four kingdoms. But since they don't study in its entirety and contextually, they take this and they take those horses and they make it something different than what it intended to be meant to be studied, to be shared with. And they're totally confused about everything. But we're not going to skip. We're going to come to it. Thank you, God, for that clarification. And Yah says, and to our ancients, and to us, like I said, history is ongoing. Then the angel of Yah answered and said, O Elohim of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem, on the cities of Jerusalem, Yehuda, against which you were angry these 70 years they were in captivity? And Yah answered the angel who talked to me with good and comforting words. So the angel spoke with me, said to me, proclaim and mean and announce, saying, thus said Yah of hosts, I'm zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal. I'm exceedingly angry with the nation at ease because they didn't put a whoop behind on my people. but I still got love for my people. For I was a little angry. Yeah, go ahead, Godrill.
Yeah. The angels went around so that the nations are at peace. Y'all saying, I'm not at peace. These nations are at ease. I'm not at peace.
No.
What do you say?
Because reason why he said, exactly. And the reason why he said that. But I was a little angry. And they helped, but they had evil intent against my people. They tried to destroy my people in entirety. They had evil intent. I got something from them. They don't know it yet. Therefore, thus said Yah, I'm returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it. We're talking futuristic. Says Yah of hosts. And a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. We read about that and we studied about that surveyor. Again proclaimed, saying, thus say Yah of hosts, my city shall again spread through prosperity. They ain't talking about it, no churches. Yah will again cover Zion. They ain't talking about no churches. I will again choose specifically Jerusalem. Not no churches, not the Roman Catholics, Pope thing he's sitting in over there in Italy, and he meant splendid groups of religions. He's not talking about anything that they propose to you. And he speaks about those visions of horns. Those are four kingdoms. Horns represent kingdoms. And we read about those kings, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Median Persians, the Greco-Roman. And now this fourth kingdom, universal white race supremacy. And what does Yah say? Then I raised my eyes and looked. There were four horns. And I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these? Zechariah asked him. So he answered me, these are the horns that have scattered Yehuda. We have been scattered by all these kingdoms. Israel, we have been scattered by all these kingdoms in Jerusalem. Then Yah showed me the four craftsmen. And I said, what are these coming to do? Yah said, he said, these are the horns that scattered Yehuda, these kingdoms, so that no one can lift up his head as a result. But the craftsmen are coming to terrify these people, these nations, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horns against the land of Yehuda to scatter it. Point blank, simple. I don't know what they're talking about over there in Revelations, but I know what y'all's talking about here. I know there are four kingdoms that scattered us, help facilitate in the scattering, the Babylonians, the Median Persians, the Greco-Roman, and now there's four kingdoms. Continue to scatter our minds. Continue to scatter us. You know what I say? I got a plan for them. Don't y'all worry about it. I have a plan for those four nations. Well, two of them we don't speak about very much because they already got there, the Assyrians and Babylonians, Medes and Persians. I think they already got theirs. So, Cartrell, my brother, what say you?
I say that we need to flow with the brother, the prophet, Zechariah, his name, the title. Remember, Yah.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we remember Yah? Yah left his word on record. He left it etched in stone. And the more we uncover about Yah, the more we know that the doctrines of men are filled with falsehoods. They're not
right.
Teaching properly Yah's plan.
Exactly.
So we give thanks to the Most High that he's allowed us to even find out through the thick and thin what his truth is. And as we explore and peruse his holy scriptures, his holy word, we find out more and more truth. And we can't
exactly.
be deceived because what you say don't even match what the Most High said.
Exactly.
We know what's going on, and we should know what's going on the more we study. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah, Cartrell. Thank you very much, my brother. And thank you for helping in the clarification. Put it in simpler terms so people can understand what Yah is saying here. Like I said, we don't know anything about that revelation thing, that they have plagiarized the Most High word and took it over to that new thing. But we do know what Yah is saying in reference to the consequences of love for the mistreatment of his people. He said, yeah, I used them, but I intend for them to destroy them. And we know two of them ain't spoken about. But the rest going to get theirs too. And he said, they're going to heaven, his nation. He said, his nation going back into posterity, back in their homeland, where they should be. And if they told you in that Roman Catholic thing, they told you a bald-faced lie. Go ahead, Cartrell.
It's a key point. Because Revelation don't tell you about Jerusalem and Zion. And Yah wanted to dwell in the midst of Yehuda.
Right.
They don't talk Revelation don't talk nothing about that. People believe Revelation is leading people into a rapture and into heaven.
Right.
And here we see Yah's plans contrary to what Revelation is talking about.
Right.
Yah wants to secure Jerusalem here on earth. He wants to exalt Mount Zion. And that's what we're seeing over and over
exactly.
again.
Exactly.
Over and over again. Jerusalem, Jerusalem is a city that Yah has chosen right here on earth, not in heaven. Jerusalem is not in heaven. His holy temple is going to be planted there. Yes, it will be planted there. And he admonished these people, our brothers, our ancient fathers, to build a temple to see where their hearts were at. Are you for me or are you for yourself?
Right.
Build this temple and we're going to see what happens. But we know that the temple that Yah has for the future is already built because the prophet Ezekiel walked through it. Matter of fact, came outside the gates of the temple, was walking through the water, and the angel had to pull him out the waters. So we know that that temple is already there. We ain't got to worry about it. And Yah intends to lay his foundation in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. All right? I don't know what our listeners was talking about, but I know what the prophet Zechariah, who Yah commissioned, has said.
And that server is line has been set. And that temple going to be placed on that server. Okay? He's got a place on the server line over there, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Katriel. I think Sister Avia has joined us, and that's a blessing. You want to hear wisdom more? Well, here she is. Let me bring on Sister Avia. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is on. Sister Avia, is that you? Erico 971, and that's somebody else from New York City. Okay. Well, maybe it's not her. Maybe someone from New York City. All right, Cartier. Someone came in to study with us. That's a good thing. Else came and said, yeah, because I borrowed a mic on, but I couldn't hear her say anything. So maybe someone else from New York City. So Cartier, could be a he from New York City. Well, Cartier, will you do us the honors and take us through the studies of Proverbs?
My honor, my pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Give thanks to the Holy One of Yisrael. We had the opportunity to do this.
Exactly.
So we have Proverbs chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to give all thanks, praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Yisrael for even imparting wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to our great king, King Solomon. And he wasn't a perfect man by any means.
Nope.
And people got a lot of criticism of him because he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. But you may have to be real wise in order to handle that.
Yeah.
And we thank the Messiah that he left his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding behind for us to gain strength and to gain wisdom, to gain insight on how to connect with the Most High. Because if not for King Solomon, we wouldn't even know that wisdom was the first thing that God created.
Exactly. No matter what the Roman Catholic tell you. Well, Contrail, it tells me something. I give him credit for having gone through some things despite he knew better. And after going through these things, the dog go back to his vomit. And after falling 7 times and getting back up and pushing forward, I give him credit for that.
I look at King Solomon. I don't know. It's just my quirky vision of him. But he's like Michael Jackson.
Right.
Michael Jackson and his brothers never had a childhood. Their father disciplined them and trained them to be professional musicians.
Right.
King Solomon was 12 years old when he took hold of the throne.
Right.
And was announced that he was king of Israel. Imagine you 12 years old and you're trying to run a nation.
Right.
But the thing that he had was that he connected with the Most High. He's like, I'm 12 years old. I'm just a little boy. And what I need is not silver and gold, not military might. He prayed to the Most High for wisdom. And Yah gave it to him. Yah was pleased that he asked for that because he was only 12 years old. But being that he was 12 years old, guess what? He didn't have a childhood. He's running a nation at 12 years old.
Right.
So he didn't have time to make the same mistakes that we make when we're 12 years old. Right?
Right. Right.
And I'm sure that when he got to be in power as an older man, he's going to, you know, push the limits of his power, which is why he married 700 women and had 300 concubines, which is,
he sold his oats. And he paid the consequences.
Yes. Yes. But we love him for the fact that he put his wisdom down on paper. Proverbs 6, he wrote it. King Solomon. Mm-hmm. Y'all want to hear? They said King Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. And let's get into his mindset and his thoughts. Because he introduces us to wisdom. And he speaks from the voice of wisdom. And what is she saying? Proverbs 6, verse 1. My son, if you have become collateral for your neighbor. You know what collateral for your neighbor means, Yamsu?
Yeah. Well, you guarantee it, they're going to pay it.
Yeah. Somebody using you. Somebody using you. You know that our people are collateral for the American government?
I believe it.
We collateral. As soon as you sign that birth certificate, your Social Security card, your driver's license, you become collateral for your neighbor, who are our enemies. Because they use us in the stock market and all that, get money. But your close friends could use that as collateral.
Yep.
You become the scapegoat. If you have struck your hands in a pledge for a stranger, all right, so you're making deals with strangers, people you don't even know. You're making deals with them. That's dangerous.
Real dangerous.
You are trapped, huh?
Real dangerous.
Yeah. And you know what traps us, Yamsu? You are trapped by the words of your mouth. Because people are going to hold you to what you say, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The Most High are going to hold you to what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And if you made a bond and a contract with, say, like the Bloods and the Crips, guess what they're going to do? They're going to say, nigga, you said you down, and we're going to hold you to that.
Exactly.
You are ensnared with the words of your mouth, which means what? You better watch what you're saying out here.
Exactly.
Because your words can ensnare you and trap you. But people don't realize that. They fall into the same traps and ensnarements every day.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the remedy? What's the solution?
So do this, my son.
Can you tell me, sir?
And
do this
yourself.
Now, my son. Yeah, deliver yourself. Since you have come into the hand of your neighbor, how you deliver yourself? Go humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Listen, I know what the hell I was talking about. I can't fulfill it. I'm sorry. Yeah, humility.
Yeah, humility.
Give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself. Yeah, from the traps, from the ensnarement. Like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. Like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Because all of us are in these traps, whether we know it or not.
Exactly.
So sound counsel. Go to the ant, you sluggard. So when you see one ant, Yamsu, is that ant by himself?
No, he got a whole crew, brother.
Oh, yeah. So we're talking about the ant as if it's one and singular. Every ant in a colony has a job to do.
Exactly.
Consider her ways and be wise. You look at the ant, she's part of a colony. She got a job. Every ant got a job to do. And ain't none of them sitting on the side chilling.
You ain't lying.
Which have no chief, overseer, ruler. Because that's what we want, right? We want a chief, we want an overseer, we want the Messiah, we want a king, we want a Kohen, we want a Moore. No, we don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
You got a job to do. You in life. Be like the ant. Make your contribution. Provide some bread in the summer and gather some food in the harvest. How long would you sleep, slugger? Our people are sleeping. When will you arise out of your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber. A little folding of the hands to sleep. So your poverty, what are you crying about? Our poverty, right?
Yes.
You know why poverty is upon us? Because we don't take action, right? You sleeping, you sluggard, you lazy, you entitled, somebody's supposed to give it to you. No. When will you arise out of your sleep? Get up, work. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little falling of the hands to sleep. I know people that can sleep to 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, yo, my body won't allow me to sleep that long. Not at all. You could sleep to 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock every day.
Nah.
So your poverty would come like a robber.
Mm-hmm.
And your scarcity, like an armed man, as if somebody robbed you.
Mm-hmm.
A worthless person, a man of iniquity, is he who walks with a perverse mouth. Oh, yeah, they got that mouth again. What are you saying out of your mouth?
Yeah.
Who winks with his eye, who signals with his feet, who motions with his fingers, and whose heart is perverseness. Sounds like Donald Trump. A worthless man, a man of iniquity, he who walks in with a perverse mouth. So like he'll walk up to women and grab their, you know, private parts and say, come on, man.
Perversity.
Who devises evil continually, nonstop, Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Who always sows discord, Donald Trump. Therefore, what's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to Donald Trump?
His
calamity will come in him suddenly. He can't even stop it. And that's what we're seeing now, right?
Exactly.
The walls are falling in on Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He will be broken suddenly without remedy. And Donald Trump is a representation of universal, right, racist supremacy because they love him. And he represents them. And then there are six things that Yah hates. Do you know what six things that Yah hates? Well, they call us a black identity hate extremist group. Yo, there's some things we should hate, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, there's things that Yah hates. Right?
Exactly.
So hate is not always a bad thing, is it? And we're going to see. Because there's six things which Yah hates. Yes, seven. Not just six, but seven, which are an abomination to him. Arrogant eyes and a lying tongue. Shouldn't we hate that?
Yes.
Arrogant eyes and a lying tongue? We should hate that. Hands that shed innocent blood. Shouldn't we hate that?
Yes.
A heart that devises wicked schemes. Shouldn't we hate that?
Yes.
Feet that are swift in running to mischief. We should hate that too, right?
Exactly.
We should definitely hate a false witness who utters lies. Because there's people locked up 50, 60 years because somebody provided false witnesses and they locked up in prison right now. We should hate that, right?
Exactly.
He who sows discord among his brothers. Oh, we definitely should hate that, right? Shaq, Charles Barkley, LeBron James. What y'all doing? Y'all sowing discord amongst our people.
Exactly.
Division. We should hate that, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because we should stand up. We should be our brother's keepers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you sowing discord. Oh, Kyrie's an idiot. He should have been suspended. That's sowing discord. He's sowing discord.
Exactly.
And guess what? You're bearing false witness and uttering lies because the man didn't do anything, did he?
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Yah hates that.
Mm-hmm.
He hates that. My son, keep your father's commandments. And we got to know who our fathers are with the right commandments. And don't forsake your mother's teachings. You have to have mothers with proper teachings. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, it will lead you. So our father is Yah and our mother is wisdom, right? Beyond our physical mother and fathers, because they may not know like Yah, our father, because Yah is commanding us and our mother is wisdom who's trying to teach us. Don't forsake what she's trying to teach us. When you walk, it will lead you. When you listen to Yah, and walk with wisdom. When you sleep, it will watch over you. What's watching over you? Yah and wisdom. When you awake, it will talk to you. Yah and wisdom. For the commandment is a lamp. Who's commanding what? You're not just listening to every command. You're listening to the commands of Yah. And the law, whose law? Yah's law is a light. Reproof of instruction, reproof. People who want to attain more wisdom know they're not perfect and they need to be corrected. People who think they know everything refuse reproof. Wise people, reproof of instruction are the way of life, right? So you started out as a baby. You didn't start out knowing everything. Somebody had to teach you. And all your life, you need to be taught. To keep you from the immoral woman, from the flattery of the wayward wife's tongue. Don't lust after her beauty in your heart. Neither let her captivate you with her eyelids. For a prostitute reduces you to a piece of bread. Wow, that's what a woman can do to you? Reduce you to a piece of bread?
You better believe it.
You thought you were so bad, and that woman just reduced you to a loaf of bread. Ask O.J. Simpson. Ask all these brothers out here. Jim Shone. Delilah reduced him to a loaf of bread. He gave up his life. Right?
Exactly.
So Mosiah is comparing the adulteress hunts for your precious life. What is she like? She's like, can a man scoop fire in his lap and his clothes not be burned? You mess with somebody's wife. It's like taking a scoop of fire and putting in your lap and not expecting to be burned. Are you crazy? Put a scoop of fire in your lap, see if you don't get burned. Or one can take walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched. So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. And America is all about that.
Exactly.
What they call it? Open marriage, soap operas.
Arrangements.
Make it acceptable. Make it acceptable.
Yeah.
Ain't no big thing. You know, you can sleep with, you know, every time they can Harry in the hood. Even though you're married, it don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever touches her will not be unpunished. And who gonna punish you? Maybe not the system, but the Most High gonna punish you.
Mm-hmm.
Men, don't despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's hungry. Yeah, that's what people gonna do. You hungry and desperate, and ain't no other option. You gotta steal for food to feed yourself. Come on now. You understand that.
Right.
But if he is found, he shall restore seven times. He shall give all the wealth of his house. He who commits adultery with a woman is void of understanding. You just don't know what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
He who does it, when you sleep with another man's wife, guess what you're doing? You're destroying your own soul. Everybody dies, but you don't want to destroy your soul.
Right.
You will get wounds and dishonor. His reproach will not be wiped away. There's no repentance. There's no forgiveness when you knowingly sleep with another man's wife.
Mm-hmm.
But jealousy aroused the fury of the husband. Of course. He won't spare in a day of vengeance. Just like y'all. Y'all got this jealousy and y'all got this vengeance. And we know what y'all feel like when somebody sleeps with our wives. He won't regard any ransom. Nah, I ain't taking no ransom. You slept with my wife? There's nothing you can pay me. You just ruined my life. You slept with the one I love, my soulmate. And now you spoiled everything. And a ransom won't make up for what you've done. Neither will he rest content, though you give him many gifts. There's nothing you could give a man if you slept with his wife. Listen, I'll give you my Bentley, son. I'll give you my mansion. Nah. Your Bentley and your mansion don't compare to my wife. Sorry.
You just
slept with her. She slept with you.
Well, you took away that man's peace of mind.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't nobody, you can't pay for nobody's peace of mind. There's not a amount of gold, all the tea in China, you can give that man to get back his peace of mind. Oh, her peace of mind.
This is the kind of stuff that should be taught in school, right?
Exactly.
They push that LGBTQ agenda.
Oh, yeah.
But these are basic principles of morality, right?
Exactly.
I tell you, I'd be walking down the street with my wife, and people try to holler at my wife. Like, come on, man. You don't see we married? You going to still try to holler at her?
Are you kidding me?
No, for real.
People are hot mess, Andy Cartier.
Well, at least not now. My wife is like in her 70s, but when we was younger, I took it out to have to dinner or to play or something.
Right.
We'd be hollering at my wife while I'm right there. Like,
and they
okay.
See you hold hands, hugged out, up against one another. You joke crazy they want to be.
Imagine when I'm not there. What's going on? My mom went on there. How many niggas is hollering at you now?
Yeah. Exactly.
And they will holler.
Oh, yeah. That's just that on that. That's just the nature of evil and wickedness. This is what they do, bro. It's what they do. But there's consequences for it. Ain't nothing in life free. Praise God.
And you don't want your soul destroyed because you slept with another man's wife.
Exactly.
There's no remedy for that. There's no repentance for that.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Except in the form of King David, because that's what he did. Y'all forgive him.
Oh, yeah.
But he was a king.
Yeah.
He didn't destroy his soul.
No.
You got to understand the ramifications. Most I told us to destroy the Hittites, but it ain't give King David excuse to take Uriah the Hittite's wife and sleep with her.
No excuse whatsoever.
And Yah was very angry with him, wasn't he?
And if you've done it, my advice, you better do a King Darwin. Okay? You better do a King. You better do some fasting and praying. But there's consequences.
And you ain't going to get out of it without no punishment. That's for sure.
There's going to be consequences. It's just the nature of the beast. His little boy, Bathsheba's first son, paid the consequences. So there's consequences, repercussions. But they tell you in this Western Hemisphere, just do what you want to do. It's your thing. I can't tell you who to sock it to. That may be very well be true as far as this Western Hemisphere is concerned. But with Yah, that's consequences. And they're not pleasant. And your soul is at risk. There's no game, people. There's nothing to play with. It is something serious. Thank you, Cadrell. Thank you very much for that fine study and delightful, informative study in Yah's word by virtue of wisdom and King Solomon. Cadrell, all good things come to an end, my friend. And now we've come to the end of our study sessions. Would you like to give some praise and thanksgiving to the Elohim before we get out of here, before we look forward to seeing each other this Monday coming?
Well, I just want to correct what you just said, because all good things last forever. That's a Western mindset. All good things must come to an end. I don't think so. No, all good things will last forever and ever and ever. So we're looking forward to the good things that Yah is about to present to his creation, because that's what he said he's going to do. And he know that he's going to make it last forever, which is why I want to give him thanks and praise and honor and glory for the things that he's promised to our people. Even though the world sees us as insignificant and however they see us, but he sees us as his treasure, the apple of his eye, and he's taking care of us, you know, in that manner. These people hate us. They want to destroy us. It's called genocide, but Yah's hand, his providence is over us. And we have the opportunity to study his word, get closely connected with him. And I'm so thankful and grateful that he hears my voice, the voice of my family, the voice of my people, as we strive to get closer and closer to him. So my love and praise goes to Yah forever and ever. And I pray that he lifts us up and shows us the spectacular, the miracles in my lifetime while I have my being. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Yah, Cadrell, again, thank you. And I'm appreciative for your help in these studies. I think going on 4 or 5 years, Cadrell. I don't know how long. I know you're going to keep doing it like I'm going to keep doing it. Until we can't do it anymore. That being said, I'd like to give
appreciate you too. No
thank
doubt.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I'd like to give thanksgiving and praise to the sisters that works with us on this show, Cartrell. The listeners that want to study Yah's word, want to be enlightened by the Elohim. And the remnant that's going back. Well, all of us going back. But the remnant that the Most High takes into our land, not heaven. I'd like to thank the Most High for the opportunity to help assist in the study of his word. I'd like to thank the Most High for humility, for his forgiveness, his love, his enlightenment. Basically, Kacho, put it in a nutshell. And fellow students, I'd like to thank the Most High for every day. The life I breathe, the air I breathe, and everything that goes along with it. Anything that I have, I'd like to thank the Most High. I'm grateful. I don't deserve any of it, but I'm very appreciative of all of it. Praise and bless the Most High and bless his holy name. Katra, anything else before we go?
I'm pretty much exhausted, filled with the word of the Most High. I pray that our listening audience is filled with the word of the Most High as well. To the point where we visit YahwehGather.us and help us build to glorify the name of the Holy One of Israel, YahwehGather.us.
Praise Yah, Kadri. Praise Yah, Shalom, and bless his holy name. We love you. Shalom. And these are the consequences of our love.
I will go to the consequence of love. Whatever come, what may, you see, the gain for me is you. I will fight for the right to be your love. No matter what they say, you see, the gain for me is you. I begin to hate time and distance, 'cause it makes me wait. It's all I seem to do. I will go to the consequence of love. Whatever come, what may, you see, the gain for me is you. I will fight for the right to be your love. No matter what they say, you see, the gain for me is you. Begin to hate time and distance, 'cause it makes me wait, and it's all I seem to do. I'll anticipate with all my patience, 'cause it makes me wait, coming home. To the consequence of love, whatever come, what may, you see, the gain for me is you. I will fight for the right to be your love, no matter what they say, you see, the gain for me is you. The gain for me is you. The gain for me is you. The gain for me is love.